exactly what she would do if she were in your shoes. I can't think of a person who has devoted more time to helping people's health than Dr. Carolyn Dean. She can make a huge difference as you listen to her words of wisdom. We know she's ahead of time because she is the doctor of the future. Welcome, Dr. Carolyn Dean. Yay! Yay! We're here. Okay, I've texted everybody and told the whole world. We're on a different thread. So let's see how it goes.
We're fine. It is a wonder things work as well as they do most of the time.
Right? Exactly. My goodness. So we were telling everybody earlier how amazing you are, but we could just skip over that and just go back.
Yeah, let's skip over that. We do that every week. You know, why repeat it? Oh, yeah, we're here. We're wonderful. We're on X. We're everywhere. We're talking about my blog of the week, and it comes out of it's about SIBO, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. And it's a section I have in a book. I don't know if Ginny will ever let me publish it, but it's called Halitosis to Hemorrhoids, a gastrocomical review of your gut. And basically what happened with the gut is yeast overgrowth. But medicine is not going to admit that because they think yeast is a fad. So in my world, where I had antibiotics when I was a kid and the birth control pill, mercury fillings, sugar, addicted to sugar, I had yeast overgrowth. So when I learned about yeast overgrowth from Dr. William Crook back in the 80s when I was in practice, I started my practice in 1979. So in the 80s, I was learning about yeast. And actually in 1987, Dr. William Crook came up to Toronto and I was on a TV show with him one night. It was a 90 minute show, a call-in show. We had 80,000 people call into that show. People were just so extraordinarily amazed by what we were talking about, which is, you know, you eat the sugar, you take the antibiotics, and your intestinal flora, you kill off good and bad bacteria, but you feed yeast. And the yeast that's supposed to stay in the large intestine crawls up into the small intestine. So you get small intestinal imbalance of the microflora. And with allopathic medicine, not understanding or caring about or being able to treat yeast overgrowth, and actually to admit yeast overgrowth means they'd have to admit, oh, well, yeah, we caused it. It's the antibiotics, the birth control pill, cortisone. So instead of admitting it, they've decided to talk about small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, which means they'll treat it with antibiotics and make the yeast problem worse. So what we've got is a situation where people will have this imbalance in their intestinal flora, and it can move on to Crohn's and ulcerative colitis. I hear this now from when I was in Arizona with the Vital Choice Project. Garrett Pagel, who's a 22-year-old who had horrible episodes through his life, medical episodes, on a lot of antibiotics, ended up with ulcerative colitis. So he tells that story to sort of help people understand why he wants to make a difference in medical education. So we're actually going to be working with pre-med students to teach them nutrition so that when they go into medicine, they'll realize there are alternatives. So anyway, that was a sidebar. So with his gut problem, I tell people with SIBO, they have to look at yeast overgrowth. And, you know, what I work on is a yeast-free diet, which means you avoid sugar, fruit, gluten, and dairy. Dairy because of lactose, milk, sugar. Avoid that for 3 weeks. And then you slowly maybe start a piece of fruit a day, but you don't go whole hog because you'll start feeding your yeast again. But you're also going to be taking the stabilized ions of picometer silver, and you're going to be taking our, I guess I'm going to say the name of the product, Flora Revive. It's got Saccharomyces boulardii, humic fulvic, inulin. It's a pre and probiotic, actually. So that's what we work with SIBO. And I have a kind of a case question that came in. Our customer writes, I just read your blog about SIBO. I'm expecting that tonight's show will cover it. I've been dealing with it since this winter. And then she told me later, after dental procedures, which probably means a lot of antibiotics. She says, I've had success when I eliminate all grains, rice, sugar, coffee, and most vegetables. Vegetables are high carbs and they turn into sugar. I'm also taking 2 teaspoons of silver with bentonite and psyllium twice a day, and another 2 teaspoons of silver in the afternoon. I was taking 2 teaspoons of silver before all this started. Anyway, so she's up to 6 teaspoons, which is what I say to people. 6 teaspoons is a good max. She says, several times I've managed to feel normal again, and then the temptation to eat an actual sandwich or something sweet starts to dominate, and my slight overindulgence can easily restart the turbulence. So what do I say? I mean, I did not see where she says she's taking the Flora Revive, and that's definitely the kicker, and she may be taking it, but I guess what I would say is some people, they might have to take 4 or 6 capsules of Flora Revive. And what's happening here, and I've seen it, I've had, it was more a telephone client over in Sweden. She was bedridden with yeast overgrowth, and just about anything she ate would grow the yeast. But, you know, we got her through it. So it can be debilitating, because what happens is the yeast, they can go kind of dormant, the really strong yeast, I don't know what to call the monster yeast, they'll go dormant until you eat that sugar, if you haven't got some sort of antifungal regime going. And one thing that I haven't really mentioned over the years about yeast overgrowth is smoking can have a negative effect. Tobacco is moldy. It can't help but be moldy. And when you smoke tobacco, you will reinforce your yeast. If you live in a home that's had a water leak, or you live in a damp area, you are more susceptible to hanging on to your yeast. So, I mean, those are the things I'll say. I'll ask Ginny, any thoughts, Ginny, or is anyone talking on the chat about yeast?
Yeah, well, one, I'm very sick. I just got testing done and got diagnosed with SIBO and Morganella. What's Morganella?
Morgellons.
Tried silver and probiotics and nothing changed, only really bad acid reflux. And Carrie, is that our silver and probiotic, or are you just some company? I'd be curious about that. Michelle says, I struggle with candida and that won't go away. I will try 6 capsules of Flora Revive. I currently do 2 teaspoons of silver and 3 Flora Revive right now, plus other clearing herbs.
Mm-hmm. Right. So it's got to do with stress as well. And even the stress of having the yeast and having the symptoms will increase your cortisol. So you really have to bump up your REMAG as well. you really need that magnesium to help the detox pathways, to help the intestinal peristalsis. I think with something like yeast, which is head to toe symptoms of all the yeast toxins, there, what is it, 72 different yeast toxins or 78, you probably have to bump up all the things that support your immune system, which is our dietary supplements to keep your cells strong and all the rest of it. I know I'm missing something, but I think the mold is very important to look at. Really get someone who has a good sniffer to go around your house and see if there's any mold. And what we do for that is there are ozone generators you can get at Amazon, like a $60 box ozone generator that you put in a room, you plug it in, you dial it up for 30 minutes, 60 minutes, run out the door, shut it behind you, and leave it there to kill the ambient yeast. But if you have a source of mold, you have to get rid of that source.
Okay. A couple things. Eugene is saying that you can take apple cider vinegar for acid stomach. Do you go with that, Carolyn? And SIBO, if you have SIBO?
Yeah, that can help because the acid kind of reflux can be that you don't have enough hydrochloric acid to digest your food and you get a backwash of alkaline fluid from your small intestine. And the thing about acid reflux and stomach stuff is that people are just eating too much at a time. So it's either too much or too much sugar, and the sugar bloats your stomach and causes the pressure.
Okay, very good. About SIBO and vaccines. Are vaccines a problem when it comes to SIBO? Do they cause anything? And how do you feel about the shingles and pneumonia vaccines?
I don't know. I don't know if I want to get into vaccines. All I know, what I know about vaccines is a lot of them still do have the thimerosal. I think I'm mentioning it later in the MAHA list that they've removed the thimerosal from vaccines, but a lot of the headlines you see do not say, you know, thimerosal is mercury, and there's a reason why we're removing it.
Right.
What I've heard from some people in the know is that mercury is such a good antiseptic or anti-everything, it kills everything, that they will mix it into their first big batch, whatever that looks like, of vaccine. And then they'll say, and then we take it out. But when you look at the fine print of vaccines, and they say, they either say little or no mercury or thimerosal, they leave it open that there still may be some mercury in there, and any amount of mercury can be a problem. I don't want to talk about vaccines too much because there's still a lot of negative attention online if you say anything about vaccines. What I was saying during COVID was, well, you know, it's interesting because the Cochrane reports, the Cochrane Institute, apparently some sort of charitable, non-biased association, when they looked at all the studies for flu vaccines to see if they worked or not, they found, oh, look, they work 2% of the time. So that made me wonder about vaccines, especially flu vaccines.
Right.
So I'm going to leave it at that.
Very good. Excellent. Excellent. Okay. Excellent. Susanna is here this evening saying hello to you, Carolyn. That's fun to have Susanna here. And we're happy for all of our regular listeners who are here with us tonight. What's next? What are we going to talk about next?
Oh, yeah. We have a show.
We have
a show. The MAHA agenda. Okay, here it is. The big thing this week was the presidential fitness test. So there's a health, fitness, nutrition, and sports focus now, where I guess the fitness test in schools was taken away. I don't know if it was just 10 years ago. It seems like longer than that. And what has happened, 1 in 5 kids are obese, not just overweight, but obese. And we have to get kids back into their physical bodies. They're so busy, you know, in their screens and mirrors that they've forgotten their physical body. So with all the bad food they're eating, the fast food, you know, both parents are working, they're left to their own devices. We have to get back health, fitness, nutrition, and sports to our children. And see, what happens if kids don't have a sense of their physical body and how they can, you know, get into competition? What, we stopped competition? Everybody had to have a medal. No, the world is competitive. So sports engenders the competition and getting the accolades. It boosts your whatever ego. Let's say it. We want people to have good egos. And we've gotten away from that. And even in the work I'm doing with the pre-med students, if they grew up without any physical fitness in their schools or any attention to it, then they're not going to understand the importance of movement. All the studies of late are saying, well, you know, exercise helps osteoporosis, it helps your immune system, it helps your heart, it helps everything. So that was awesome. I mean, who would think? It seems such a simple thing. What do you mean, a fitness test? It is crucial. And at the same time, this clown study came out, and the headlines read like this was, you know, I don't know, disinformation that's been happening, where they said, oh, look, the 10,000 steps a day goal was debunked by a huge study. So that's the headline. And people who just are headline readers, they'd say, oh, 10,000 debunked, so I don't have to exercise anymore? Great. But if you read the reports and the studies, it said, well, actually, people may do just as well with 5,000 to 7,000 steps. But anyone with a brain or any hint of psychology will know, you tell people to do 10,000 and maybe they will do 8,000 or 7,000. You tell them to do 5,000, they'll do 3,000. So it's just so annoying when to get a click, you know, the clickbait theory, they will write these titillating headlines that just lie to people. And then I had down about taking the mercury out of vaccines. Next, they're going to look at taking aluminum out. They put aluminum in vaccines because what that does, it's such a negative stimulus for the body that it sort of irritates the immune system and activates it against whatever the vaccine is carrying. If it's carrying a virus, the immune system will get activated. Oh, there's a virus, I'm going to make antibodies to that. And then I keep harping on about organic farming, how we really have to go back to eating good food, but food, it's not your medicine anymore. There's not enough nutrients in the soil anymore to deal with all that we've got to landing on, is the toxins, the stress, the bad diet, the bad water, etc. But Bobby Kennedy is saying that the future of our farms is the future of our health. So let's get the bureaucratic paperwork and just the imposition on our small organic farm, where we have to document, and I've said this before, when we pull our celery, we have to count the celery and write it down and document every step of the way, who picked it, who pulled it. So we've got to have some better regulations for the small firms. So that's that. Any comments about that, Ginny?
Did we talk about the thing that we said Brooke Rollins is doing about getting all the sugar off the SNAP program?
Oh, right, right, right. Yes, you sent me that. I didn't write it down. Yes, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, they're in charge of food stamps, and they are taking the sodas, each of which has 10 teaspoons of sugar in a can of soda. They're taking that off SNAP, and they're going to put work requirements on the food stamps too. And yeah, to share, you know, a secret here in Maui, I guess through the pandemic, if it was one, but through the shutdown, when a lot of our young people here got money to live on and survive in food stamps, they're still on the food stamps.
Yeah.
And you know, they could be working, but it's a very horrible situation here in Maui where the minimum wage is such and the cost of living is such that young people really can't live a life where we grew up thinking that we could get married, have children, buy a home. All that is very true when you look at the youth and what they're going through. So hopefully we'll be able to sort through some of that. So that was a bit of a sidebar. You said that a number of the states are signing on to her.
Yes.
Her request that that the states take sodas off the food stamp program.
Yeah, sugar. And it's voluntary, so not every state has adopted it, but about 10 states have, and they're substantial. So that's important. And it always reminds me of your lecture on the Dini Petty show where you were pouring out the sugar of the milkshake in front of the audience. You know, you've been talking about this for a long time. So here it's happening. So that's very exciting. It's very, mm-hmm. very good for the health of the children that are relying on that. As she said, it's supposed to be nutrition. And we know sugar is not nutrition. So, right. Okay. Now we have a couple questions here. Carolyn, let me just ask you this. One of the questions is coming from Anna Lane. There are so many contradictory causes of plantar fasciitis, according to the experts. Some say it's leg calf related. Some say it's a nutritional deficiency. What do you say it is, Carolyn, and how would you tackle it?
I think it's probably leg calf related. With my recent foot problem, because I wasn't ready to take a step into the public media, it helped to understand the conflict. Every disease, every problem can be a conflict. But what my massage therapist started doing was really digging into the tendons of my legs, because I'd had a number of knee injuries. I dislocated both fibula rollerblading many years ago, and I've had a couple of falls. And so I've got scar tissue around my fibula. And I'm busy massaging my leg right now to show you what to do. But you probably have to have a massage therapist to do this, because it can be very painful. And it's not something we want to do to ourselves. But you'll find that if your tendons moving down the calf, you know, down to the plantar area, if they're very tight, then that tightness is going to shorten your calf muscles and pull up on your plantar muscles, plantar being the bottom sole of your foot. So that fasciitis, itis means inflammation. The fascia is all inflamed. And, you know, some people may say, oh, you just rub that out and it'll be fine. But no, you have to go up your calf and, you know, maybe on the sides of your leg as well to get at the problem. And of course, you're going to be using our Remag Balm and going to bed with socks on with a layer of Remag Balm for the inflammation and to heal that area. And I guess the other thing would be look at your shoes. If you're finding you're wearing down the shoes on the sides, that's going to put a strain on your foot. So you may need a foot insert and some really solid sneakers. So those are a couple of things to look at.
Very good. Excellent. Excellent. Carolyn, there's a terribly medical question about how to use Remag on the chat line that's probably not appropriate for the show. But is there ever a time that you would say, don't use Remag?
If you've got a heart block.
Okay.
If you've got myasthenia gravis.
Okay.
If you've got a very slow heart rate.
Okay.
And there's one more. It's in my book. There are four contraindications.
Okay.
And even with myasthenia gravis, people said, well, my myasthenia gravis came from pesticide toxicity and the magnesium helped me clear it. And, and kidney failure.
Right.
So they'll say to people on dialysis, well, you can't take magnesium because it'll build up in the body because your kidneys can't clear it. And that high amount of magnesium will affect the heart. Well, if you listen to some of our nephrologist friends, they will tell you that in the dialysis suite, people are twitching and palpitating and they have cramps and they're in a mess of magnesium deficiency. And this one nephrologist who will go unnamed, he said, yeah, sometimes we have to put up a magnesium drip because the dialysis takes out their already very low magnesium and their symptoms go away. Mm. So, yes, there are those contraindications. When you read about people who've had problems with magnesium, quote, toxicity, it's people who've been in hospital, as far as I can tell, and put on high dose IV magnesium and put in a bit of a, you know, heart palpitation or something. So it's doctor induced. And then they like to say, well, you know, magnesium can be dangerous or magnesium can cause that horrid laxative effect. And that's why we have our picometer size stabilized ion of magnesium. So you can take enough to make a difference and not get the laxative effect. And it's a breakthrough. It is a earth shattering breakthrough that we're not allowed to discuss as being able to help clear diseases. The diseases we say are really magnesium deficiency and we're just clearing magnesium deficiency. So there.
Very good. And anytime the body needs to recover from any kind of a surgery or any kind of a trauma, mm-hmm. it requires additional support for mitochondria and cellular turnover. And that is when magnesium is a key player. So it's really important all the time and even in traumatic situations. Would you say so, Carolyn?
Absolutely. The stress of burning off magnesium is incalculable. Some of the athletes that are dropping dead, it can be from magnesium deficiency. There are other things, there are more current things that could be a problem, but we're not allowed to talk about them. But I just did a podcast taping with Naomi and Botanica over in the UK. And she was talking about people who'd had so many problems. And once they started our magnesium, they couldn't believe that I've had this for 20 years. You know, what? I can't believe I'm feeling so much better. So there are people who are on their health journey. They're eating well. They're they're trying their best, but they haven't heard enough about magnesium or been exposed to our magnesium. And when they take it, it's just the final lock in the key or key in the lock that unwinds all that they've been suffering. It just, it amazes me. And that's the way I'd say it. They're healthy up to the point of their magnesium. And when they get their magnesium, all of a sudden everything turns around.
Very true. And also all of our products. I just had a conversation with somebody who started taking our omegas, omega-3 algae, A and E, could not believe the difference that it made in her mobility and feeling good in her joints. So we have so many beneficial offerings at rnareset.com. But yeah, magnesium definitely takes the day for sure. Mm-hmm. Now also, let me say that Sarah Ellis wanted to contribute to the fascia conversation, Carolyn, by saying that if you roll a tennis ball on your foot, do you have any experience with that before you even get moving in the morning? Roll your foot on a tennis ball or something like that.
Yes, a lot of PT, whatever, practitioners do recommend that. And that's a good, it says better than sometimes than a massage, because you can put the weight you want on it. Yeah, that can be very helpful for the local problem. But if it's a tendon shortening, you have to work on your calves as well.
Very good. Excellent. Okay. David, you're asking some medical questions this evening. I'm going to refer you to customer service. They're standing by right now. You can talk to them about our protocols and different opportunities. Okay, Carolyn, let's keep going.
Okay. Pros and cons of supplements. We've got the pros and cons of supplements, drugs, and research, because I started to go, really expand this whole topic. So I guess what I wanted to look at here is, what do doctors consider a dietary supplement? So I went probably just to Wikipedia, and it says, Congress defined the term dietary supplement in the Dietary Supplement Health and Education Act, we call DSHEA, of 1994. It's a product intended for ingestion that, among other requirements, contains a dietary ingredient intended to supplement the diet. The term dietary ingredient includes vitamins, minerals, herbs, and other botanicals, amino acids, dietary substances that are part of the food supply, such as enzymes and live microbials, known as probiotics, and concentrates, metabolites, constituents, extracts, or combinations of any dietary ingredient from the preceding category. So it doesn't mean a thing. It doesn't say organic. It doesn't say natural. What's happened with the dietary supplement industry, it's become very synthetic and high dose synthetics. So we're faced with all this literature, all this advertising. It just inundates us. We have to have this extra, milk thistle, alpha lipoic, L-carnitine, L-carnosine. And what I've been trying to do and have learned over the years is that if you don't start with the basics, the basic building blocks, the magnesium, the selenium, the zinc, the copper, and the food-based and methylated Bs, or high-dose vitamin C, or as Jenny said, the omega-3 with vitamins A and E. If you don't have those basics, then you will be marketed, kind of over the top with people who are saying, well, you have these symptoms, so you must need one of these 100 different supplements. Whereas if you've never had the right magnesium, you're still going to have magnesium deficiency symptoms. So that's my position on dietary supplements, is they're synthetic, they're high dose, and the body is really looking for natural. But we can't get them from food anymore because the soils are so depleted. then I came across something about a doctor who specializes in thyroid health. And he talks about megadose B complexes that were being promoted for thyroid support that have been promoted over the years. Megadose means synthetic. You cannot make a megadose natural. Our Bs are like 4 and 5 milligrams or less. So he just, you know, he kind of puts that down and talks about the side effects of the high dose synthetic Bs. He never says synthetic though, but he just talks about how when he gets people off these high dose Bs, they feel better. But I follow him a little bit. He's never talked about the 9 minerals that are necessary for thyroid hormone production. It's not just iodine, not just selenium. It's an array of 9 different minerals that we have in our multiple mineral. And then just a quick, I guess, critique. We've got Dr. Gundry out there who's doing a lot of education and a lot of supplement sales. And he talks about vitamin D, how vitally important it is. But he never mentions, at least in the podcasts I've seen, how magnesium is necessary to activate vitamin D. And he talks about mitochondria, but never mentions that the ATP energy molecule is attached to magnesium and it won't work without magnesium. So the whole picture, the picture is chopped up by everybody. I think the reason why I have a bigger whole picture is I've been at this for 50 years and I've managed to put it together for my own health and then, you know, to pass on. And even Rhonda Patrick, she's a PhD researcher, brilliant young woman, but she's still saying that magnesium is only necessary in 300 enzyme processes, and it's up to 600 or 800. I say it's probably 1,000, and that magnesium is responsible for 80% of known metabolic functions. And they always kind of downplay magnesium because they know if you take a certain amount of a magnesium compound, you're going to get the laxative effect. So people are constantly searching for cures because they aren't being treated with the right kind of magnesium. And this is something that you have to share with people because we're not allowed to talk about it as helping diseases. We're not allowed to really mention our product names too much because only drugs cure disease, according to the FDA. So back to you, Ginny, before I go into helpful hacks.
Okay, very good. Yes. I love everything you just said, and it's all very true. And also, we're not allowed to talk about, but we do anyway. So there you have it.
Yeah. So any questions before I continue on?
No, but I just want to give another little love squeeze to Diana Orlando, one of our longstanding customers who's been with us forever. She said she missed a few segments of the podcast because she was out on a hiatus, but she's back and we love her and she's just fantastic. So thank you, Diana, for giving us a love shout back in return. Everybody here this evening is just so great and such a big part of our community.
And yes, we have an amazing community, amazing customers. We do depend on our customers to talk about our products. They are our best advertisement. And we really, truly appreciate that. And you are saving lives.
Absolutely.
Helpful hacks. Clay poulticing.
Hey, oh.
Are you okay?
This is so, oh, wait a minute. I'm saying, yes, this is so amazing. We're going to clip this out and put it all over the internet. So go.
Okay, so maybe I won't be able to show the label, but okay, seriously, if you have anything, I mean, someone had a bit of a weepy, you know, face rash, I said maybe what you could do is take some clay, This is, I use edible clay just to make sure it's really clean. It's a fine, fine face powder. And then you put our silver, and I'm not showing the label. You just put maybe a half a teaspoon of clay and a few drops of silver. You can have it in a dropper bottle, and you make a little mushy poultice. I had this weird little projection here on my forehead, and it was nothing I'd ever felt before. I just started putting clay on it. It's already down 2/3 in size. So that for this weepy little face rash, it was just a matter of putting it on. The clay will draw out whatever, you know, toxin, poison, whatever. And within a day and a half, it was starting to form a crust. It was healing. Whereas before, it had just been kind of there, weepy and not doing anything, but maybe spreading a bit. I've used it when I've fallen and I have sort of dirty cuts. It'll pull out the dirt of your cuts. You just use it for acne. If you've got kids who have acne, you can just put a dot of this clay on the acne. They go to bed and they wake up in the morning and it's drawn it out. So that's clay poultices. Another hack is cloves. These are whole cloves that the smell is awesome. A kid patient, I have chewed cloves in my mouth for decades. So you just pop it in your mouth and you just push it around in your mouth a bit. You don't really chew it. You just let it sit there. You maybe chew on it just a little bit to release some of the oil, and you just leave it in your mouth. In all my years of private practice, I never got sick. And I attribute, even though I was magnesium deficient, you know, up to here, I never got sick, and I attribute it to the cloves. And cloves are also anti-parasitic.
That is fantastic information. And they also have a lot of polyphenols. As a matter of fact, if you're looking for a natural source of polyphenols, clove is the number one go-to, number one. So definitely love cloves. And also, do you think clay poultices would be good for eczema? That's what Jackie's asking on the chat.
I think so. Eczema is going to be yeast overgrowth as well. You know, the toxins from yeast are coming out on the skin. So you want to treat for yeast, to use our yeast protocol. Plus, you can use local. But Ginny, let me use the last 3 minutes here. I'm going to run through these few science articles that I haven't gotten to in 2 months.
Oh, here we go.
The first one that Rachel can pull up, vitamin D helps lower your risk of colorectal cancer. Mm. And this is from Dr. Mercola. And that's all I'm going to say. He's saying 80% of adults are either deficient or insufficient in vitamin D. He doesn't talk about needing your magnesium to activate the vitamin D. And we do recommend vitamin D testing. It's a very good way to see where you lie. I was 19 nanomoles, whatever. And now I'm up to 60. I took like 10,000 units for a few months, retested, and I went to 60. But at the same moment, my magnesium went down. So I knew my magnesium was working on the vitamin D. So that's one of the 100 things that vitamin D can do for you. Another, should we be treating atrial fibrillation diagnosed by smartwatch? So, you know, you put on your watch and you dial it in for checking your AFib. And here's the bottom line on this. I think this was like a Medscape commentary. Over 10 years, treating someone whose smartwatch tells them they have AFib, treating with a blood thinner, will increase lifespan by 9 days. So yeah, you just go ahead and do that. So that's where we have this problem with overdiagnosis, because drug companies want you to take their drugs, but you'll get 9 days out of putting yourself on a blood thinner that can cause so many side effects. This next article, low and no calorie sweeteners aren't the dietary boogeyman. So this started to come out when we were going over the ultra processed food business, where all of a sudden these doctors, these I don't know, agencies, probably the sugar groups, are saying that, well, you know, synthetic sweeteners aren't that bad. And they create a dramatic headline for this particular study that looks at one part of how hunger is affected by either a sugar or a dietary sweetener. And what was the headline? Low and no calorie sweeteners aren't the dietary boogeyman. Seriously, they're toxic and poison. And the last one in our last minute, young onset dementia risk rises with metabolic syndrome. So what's metabolic syndrome? It's when you have a high waist circumference, high blood pressure, high fasting glucose, high triglycerides, and high cholesterol. And these are all modifiable risks with diet and exercise and dietary supplements. So they said, our findings suggest that lifestyle changes to reduce the risk of metabolic syndrome, such as eating a healthy diet, exercising regularly, maintaining healthy weight, quitting smoking, and reducing stress, may help reduce the risk of young onset dementia. And it's like, yeah, that's pretty much common sense. So let's do that. So that's the end of it, Ginny. I'll have to dig into the archives and get more references for next week.
Now, let me just say that everybody's freaking out because we lost 6 minutes coming, going, and so on. And so Bob is jumping up and down screaming, you have another 10 minutes. But let me also say we have other announcements to make. Right, Carolyn?
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Well, for one thing, we always want to remind everybody to visit drcarolyndean.com. drcd.com is where Dr. Dean hangs out with all of her incredible information. All of our archives are posted there. And also next week, you will see something very super special there. And that is Dr. Dean's new book, which is premiering next Monday's show, Exposing Sugar Toxicity, which is the first of a three-part series on talking about sugar toxicity and what are the real impacts, talking about how to detox from sugar, and also a beautiful, vibrant cookbook that is going to provide all of our listeners and customers with great recipes. So that's all beginning next week. So you'll want to be here for that. The next thing is we always want to tell people to go to rnareset.com, and we want to point out a super secret, absolutely fabulous, wonderful feature that we've started that our team put together, and that is gifting. If you know how Dr. Dean always says, make it a gift, send a gift, share it with your friends, help people find it, blah, blah, blah. Well, now we have this is a gift feature on the website. You can see how I'm going to reach over and touch my own screen. That's going to look silly, but this order is a gift is something that you can click now. You can actually put a gift message on there, like sending flowers. I mean, it's so exciting. It's like saying, mom, dad, brother, sister, friend, I've worried about you, or I'm excited for you. And now you're going to have exactly what you need with Remag or Remite or Total Body Reset, or we could do it together, or whatever you want to say. And then you can check out, and that gift message is going to go in their box, and no price tag, not the cost of the gift or the cost of shipping, but a beautiful note will be included in their box. So thank you, Derek. Thank you, Sarah Ellis, for pulling this together. This was actually a request from Nan, who insisted on having gifting options. So thank you, Nan. So everybody's doing it. and putting it together. So that's very exciting. The other thing we want people to know is Pico Pets. You must absolutely go to Pico Pets. You must absolutely have these formulas for your pets. And we're going to be launching our next formula here pretty soon, definitely by beginning of October, middle of October, something like that. Mm-hmm. So all the good things are happening everywhere Dr. Dean is, and those are the announcements tonight. What would you like to say in your defense, Carolyn?
We're having such an impact on people. It is remarkable. We're getting such great feedback. Julie and I are doing something here on the island that we'll tell you about in 6 months. And you know how hard it is for us to keep a secret, but we have to keep this secret. And yeah, I think people are distrusting medicine, doctors, drugs. They see the commercialization of everything. I mean, we're seeing it in the podcast world. I'll say it. It sounds like I'm whining, but the podcasters that I'd like to be interviewed by, they are charging high fees now, so that we can't even get to an audience freely. The audience is being
bought.
Yeah. So people are going on these podcasts to sell their products, and certainly I'm selling my products, but I've got a message that nobody else has, and it's going to be curtailed because I'm not going to bribe someone to interview me. If you're on a podcast and you're acting like, oh yeah, we're getting the word out there, but we're educating, we're so beneficial. No, they're monetizing everything now.
Yes. Yeah. Marketing people have taken over. People like Brian, who we love, works with us, is taking over the world with all their bots and everything else like that. Their monetization and their clicking and their clacking and all the things. We're doing it for holy, good, wealthy, wise, wonderful purposes to keep people healthy. And other people are doing it for capitalistic, missionary purposes. But it is true, podcasters are being paid. It's a big grift now. Right. When you see the same person on, Gary Brecka, Gary Brecka, Gary Brecka, okay, that's not real, okay? That is pay. Mm-hmm. So you have to really discern what you're hearing. And the other thing is I know for a fact, because I know her schedule, that Carolyn will go on a podcast, a little lone podcast, like the beautiful, precious Parkinson's people, and talk to them about magnesium, you know, because Carolyn's heart, she's a true doctor. She wants people to be healed. She wants them to be well. She wants them to flourish. And this is not happening with other people. So really, honestly, if you want people to have clear, clean content that's not polluted with corrupt motives and weird distractions, you really should send as many of your friends and family members to this podcast as you can. Seriously.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Yeah. Very good. So that's our message. And I'm sorry, Bob, if you were, oh no, it's 2:07 for me here. So we've done it. Yeah.
We did perfect timing. Yeah. All right, everybody. Love, love, love you all. Uh-oh, wait a minute. Hearts are coming. Hearts are coming. Thank you, everybody. So good to see everybody tonight. And we will be back next week with our book launch. So you got to be here.
Yes.
You have been listening to Dr. Carolyn Dean, the Doctor of the Future. Become a member of drcarolyndean.com and get access to all her leading edge of creation information, as well as archives, webinars, and other valuable media resources. Join Dr. Dean and Ginny Almighty same time again next week.